And what I love to first describe is just the difference between guilt and shame. So guilt is, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Shame is, I'm sorry, I am a mistake. And when you think I am a mistake, I am a failure, I am unlovable, I am unworthy, I'm not good enough, I'm not beautiful, right? Like all of those things, they can disrupt and sometimes completely sabotage a lot of the decisions and relationships that you have in your life.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline or Jax Kreider. And today we have guest Janelle, and she is both a book author and a coach. She actually has helped me coach me through writing my first book. I actually joke that we did like a kind of book writing club, if you will. That was super helpful to me, keeping me on track and keeping me accountable. But what she and I have really connected with is kind of this shame-based thinking, if you will, which is kind of what her whole first book is about. And so we're going to kind of dive into that. So welcome, Janelle, and let us know why you're excited to be on the show and a little bit about yourself.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Jax, first of all, for having me on the show. It is such an honor and a privilege to be here. I know the audience that you serve is, they're just anxious and excited to hear all of the knowledge and wisdom that you have to share regarding their finances and how to think about their finances, which I think is the number one place that we need to start, right? It's people's awareness, the way that they think about themselves and how that reflects their thoughts about money in relationship to themselves. So I'm really excited to be here for that reason. And for those who don't know me, my name is Janelle Villiers. I am an author. And one of the things that, like many people during 2020, a lot of us had time to think. And during that time, I recognized the calling on my life is to really talk to people about shame-based thinking and how it impacts their lives. And what I love to first describe is just the difference between guilt and shame. So guilt is, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Shame is, I'm sorry, I am a mistake. And when you think I am a mistake, I am a failure, I am unlovable, I am unworthy, I'm not good enough, I'm not beautiful, right? Like all of those things, they can disrupt and sometimes completely sabotage a lot of the decisions and relationships that you have in your life. Now, certainly we're talking about relationships with people most of the times, but also the relationship with money. And so typically people who have shame-based thinking do one of three things. They either one, self-sabotage because they feel like I don't deserve anything good, right? So they'll just mess up the good thing that's coming their way. Two, absolutely, they flirt with risky behavior, and that's because they get close to it. And then when the thing ends up going sour, they're like, see, this just proves it. I'm a bad person. I'm not worthy. I'm a failure, whatever that story is that they're telling themselves. And the third thing that they do is they isolate themselves as a form of punishment. And the idea behind that is like, I can't be around people. Because if people really got to know who I am, they wouldn't want to be around me. They'd abandon me, right? And so these are the things that people do. Sometimes they're doing all three of them at the same time. Sometimes they're doing one or two of them. I certainly know that I was doing that when I, title of my book, slept with a married man, am I still a good person? And I walk people through my story, my journey of the shame-based messages that I received when I was a child, which many people typically receive, and they aren't addressed. They aren't assessed as we grow up. And then you continue to have these thoughts about yourself as an adult, and then they lead you to, like I said, self-sabotage, flirting with risky behavior, and isolating as a form of self-punishment. So I really want to help people gain resiliency from that, like just to bounce back from it. Like you don't have to stay in that thinking. There are things that you can do, techniques, exercises. And I actually have those in my book as well to get you to the other side. So when you're in it, because we all get in it in a moment or two, but it's when you get stuck in it, that's the issue. And so I'm really excited to talk to people about that. I also feel like, and this is where we can start to have like the back and forth conversation, but I also feel like that's what happens with money, right? For a lot of people, not being good with money is considered a failure. It's like, see, there it is again. I'm a failure. I can't do it. You know, that a big sum of money is coming their way and they're like, I'm not worthy of that. I'm not worthy of receiving, you know, $5,000 for this talk that I'm about to give. And they'll somehow like sabotage that process. And it's really interesting how money and our self-worth and value are intertwined in our psyche, kind of like how we see who we are.
Yeah, I agree. I think that a lot of times in this particular case, when you're dealing with money, that it's because it touches so many different aspects in your life. It's so integral, number one. And then number two, the way that like family affects how you think financially is huge. And so few people address this. So there was on an earlier episode, I actually talked with Sam, who is an incredibly smart young woman. She has recently graduated with her master's degree. And in this, she has really started addressing some of the ways that her own family has seen money. Right? They have, you know, dealt with money. They've seen money. And it's created a lot of challenge for her on, you know, like, how do I get over some of those things, right? And there's a lot of shame surrounding it too. Some people feel like they don't deserve it. So they literally will like avoid money because of it. Mm-hmm. I actually think that a lot of people will not call me on the professional side, on the mortgage side, because of shame. Because what they're afraid is going to happen is that maybe they think like, oh, their credit's not perfect. Oh, their income's not perfect. Their savings isn't perfect. And that what we're going to say to them is, man, your credit sucks. Your income sucks. You suck. And so like they have that in their head that like there's a shame and I'm going to make it worse, right? I'm going to like take the shame and I'm like dump more on them, which anybody who is any good in my space, that's not how we feel at all, right? And there is a lot of professionals out there who are not good in that respect. And maybe that is how they make them feel. I don't really know. That's not how I operate. So I couldn't speak to them, I guess. I can only really speak to me and how I operate and my team operates. But anybody, you know, it comes from that shame space. Like they're like afraid. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't talk about these hard things with anybody surrounding money. And it's honestly the whole reason I started creating this podcast is I started recognizing that, you know, I couldn't always get my customers to open up in the way that I wanted them to, right? Like I can't help you fix a problem if I don't know what the problem is, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of things surrounding money just on their face, not going deep into the shame and all that, but just on its face, I could fix a lot of those problems if you'll just kind of tell me what's going on, right? I can help you fix credit or provide you with a professional who can do that for you, right? I can help you direct you on the income piece. I can do these things, right? And that's kind of part of the reason I wrote my book is because I wanted to help them understand like what it looks like, how it works. But the reality is I can't fix what I don't know. And if you're not willing to let down some of that guard and realize that there isn't shame surrounding wanting things monetarily, like that's not a bad thing. It's really hard for me to help you and help fix whatever's going on.
Well, so I have a model or motto, I guess, to help people, like you said, to kind of bring down some of those walls. So that way they can help, it helps them to feel more comfortable to be able to share and then, you know, actually get what they really want, right? Which is this house.
Sure. Absolutely.
But it's the acronym that I have is called A Life. So in order to gain resilience, you need a life. The A stands for awareness, just the awareness that you're even thinking these things, right? It's like the number one, you got to name it to tame it, right? And if you can't name it, you can't tame it. So number one, the A is for awareness. The L is for looking within. So what are some of the things that you have been telling yourself and where did those messages come from? So like you were saying earlier, these are messages that we got from our families when we were little. I have a whole, like, I have this whole worksheet where you like actually go through and it's like, have you ever experienced this thought? Have you ever heard this when you were little, right? And people have told me, they're like, I didn't think I was going to have anything. And then I started going through this list and it's like, oh man.
Like the whole list, man. Right. Everything.
But just for those of you who haven't seen the worksheet, and maybe I'll offer that. Anyone who listens to today's podcast, if you're curious, you want to take this quiz and see if you have received any shame messages, I can certainly make sure that that appears in the show notes. But yeah, it's things like, you know, I would come home from school and my report card had all A's and one B. And all my parents saw was the B. They didn't see the A's at all, right? And so they're just like, what happened? Why didn't you get all A's? What's going on with the B here? And the message that could be interpreted by the child is, you know what? I'm not good enough. I'm not perfect enough. I'm not worthy enough to receive love unless I am perfect, unless I'm, you know, all the grades are the A, right? And so that, again, can then, as you grow up and it doesn't get addressed in your adulthood, it becomes, I'm just not good enough, right? So then that's a really quick one. Another one that a lot of people tell me gets them is like, their parents want everything to look perfect on the outside, right? The minute you step out of that house, everything better, like we better be like tip top, looking perfect. Nobody can say anything about us. The house could be a mess. But on the outside,
what's going on behind the scenes, mess. But what's facing out to the world? And I mean, think about it, in social media land, that is exactly what's happening right now, every day.
Yeah. And so the message that could be interpreted as a child from that is, oh, I'm not good enough to be loved unless I'm, again, showing this outward appearance of, you know, I've got it all together. I'm, you know, I'm perfect, or all these other things. The truth is, I'm actually unlovable unless I am like this, right? So those are little things. I will go ahead and, spoiler alert, the two strongest shame messages, and there's a whole bunch in between what I'm saying, but the two strongest, one is probably very obvious. People have probably even thought about it right now, which is abuse, right? So verbal abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse. The message received there is, oh, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable enough, because if I was, then they wouldn't say that to me. They wouldn't hit me that way. They wouldn't treat me that way, right? So that's probably where most people go when they think of a shame-based message. But actually, even stronger than that is what is interpreted as abandonment in the form of adoption, child being put in child protective services, so like foster care, those types of things, and even divorce. And the thought behind there, the interpretation is, or could be, the people who were made to love me, right? My mother and father, they don't want to be around me. They're abandoning me. I must not be lovable. Something must be wrong with me. I must be broken. Otherwise, they wouldn't do that. Right. And so, again, if not addressed, these are messages that carry on into adulthood and then reflect on many different areas, relationships, including money as well. So that's the L, right? So looking within.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy to understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today. Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
The I is identifying your triggers. Woo, this is a good one. What's that thing that you, the minute it happens to you, you start going, see, I'm not good enough. I'm bad. You're just like in the spiral, right? For some people, one of the big ones right now in our culture is being a bad parent. Oh, see, you know, you go to your kid's function and all the parents bring in like baked goods, but you just didn't have the time. So you had to go to your local supermarket, right? Get some like cookies or whatever. And you get there and everyone's got their home baked goods and you're like, I'm a bad mother. Oh, see, I'm not good enough. Right? And you just like spiral in that place. Another strong place is addiction. That's another really strong one. I'm a bad person. I'm addicted to this thing. People don't, you know, if you knew that I had this addiction, you wouldn't want to be around me, that kind of a thing. And then the other one is actually affairs, right? So extramarital affairs is another one where people have major shame issues. Those are major triggers. But little triggers could be things like a look someone gives you. Your mother gives you a look and you're just
My mom should still do that from across the room. As an adult, she can look at me and I'm like, oh, crap.
Here we go, right? Not good enough. See, I'm not the, right. I do, like, you go into the spiral. It could be your friends decide that, like, they're like, oh, we can't meet up for dinner. I know we planned it, but I just can't. Right. And then you're like, why did my friend do that? Like, is it because they don't really like me? Right. Like, it could be the smallest thing, but identifying the triggers are really, really important, because once you identify, you're like, oh, I'm going through a spiral. This is not real. Right. And then you can move on to some of the other things, which is, so now you have awareness, you're looking within, you're identifying your triggers. The F, find your good mirrors. And this is going to set you up for E, but finding your good mirrors is really important. So I love this analogy that I learned from Tim Fletcher. Shout out to Tim Fletcher. He's one of the shame experts out there. He's on YouTube. He has a whole series on this. But he's like, he gives this analogy. Having strong shame-based beliefs as an adult is probably because of the fact that you had these messages, really strong messages when you were little. Excuse me. Excuse me. I'm just going to drink some water.
No worries.
Okay. So, you know how those funny mirrors in an amusement park, right? Like, you look at them and you're all like misshaped and all the things, right? So someone with shame-based thinking, they grew up having a funny mirror in the house. It was the only mirror they had. And that mirror showed them as 3 feet tall by 3 feet wide. And that's what they know themselves as. That's just how they see themselves, right? And then as they're growing up, they go over to a friend's house and their friend has a normal mirror. And they get there and they're at the friend's house and they see the mirror and they're like, dude, your mirror is broken. Like, something's wrong with your mirror, right? Like, I'm not 5'5" and, you know, like a relatively slender, right? They're like, no, the mirror's fine. You're good. You're good. this is you. You're like, no. I'm 3 feet by 3 feet. This is wrong. Like, and they're like, no, this is real, right? And so literally that's what's happening with someone when they find a good mirror. It's the people in your life who can, like, tell you and remind you who you really are, right? You are worthy. You are beautiful. You are lovable. That thing you did was just something that you did, but what did you learn from it? You're a human who's having a human experience, who's, like, doing the best that they can with the knowledge that they have, right? Like, you need people like that in your life to help you. And here's the thing. This is where the E comes in, because E is probably the most important in all of this, because at the end of the day, you need empathy. Empathy literally is the antidote or the kryptonite to shame. Shame cannot live where empathy is present. But the only way that you can receive empathy is by sharing with others what you've been so ashamed about. And right. So that takes courage. I love Brené Brown's saying around this, because she's probably the most famous shame researcher out there. But she breaks down that courage. The Latin root of courage is cor, which means heart. And so the original definition of courage was to share the story of who you are from your heart. And you have to have that kind of ordinary courage to share in order to be able to have someone then be able to give you the empathy that's required to, you know, get rid of the shame. So anyone who's out there, I mean, you don't have to write a book like I did. You can find a friend, find your close group. And I mean close, this doesn't have to be a group of five or six. I mean, it could sometimes just be one person, maybe two, right? That one person that you know that you can go to and you're like, man, let me tell you what happened today. Everybody showed up with home-baked goods and here I was with store-bought cookies. And I was just like, I am a horrible mom. Like, what is happening right now? And that one person can say to you, you know what? Jax, you are amazing. You're out here saving lives, helping people with their dreams. And you just didn't have that moment of, you know, the 2 hours to bake the cookies, but you still showed up. You still showed up. You were there for your kid. And you know what? The cookies tasted really good. So, like, who cares? Yep. Right? You need that. You need somebody who can understand that, like, this is tough. I get it. Like, but let me remind you who you are. So that for me is huge, if you can find those people. And if you can find someone in the space around money to do that, right? Like, let me tell you what happened. I showed up at the mortgage broker's office and I, like, did not say anything. I got there and she started asking me questions. And I was like, oh, I can't tell her that. I can't tell her the fact that, like, I'm 6 months late on my credit card. I can't tell her that, like, I acted like 10 years ago, I foreclosed on a house and we're still trying to, like, get it off our credit. I can't tell her that, you know, actually I should have gotten a raise you know, 6 months ago, but I've been battling for this raise. And so like, I really should, you know, be able to be getting more money, but my income is just not where I thought it would be. And this makes me feel like I'm not valuable to my job. And so now I'm kind of like, I'm not valuable. I don't know. Do I deserve the house?
I will tell you that buying a house seems like this really pivotal moment for people because of how culturally we have shaped it, right? It's sort of that manifest destiny, like we want to own a piece of America kind of style. And so I think beyond just shame, there is a fear that is associated. It's like the shame of, oh, am I good enough? And then the fear of, well, what if the answer is no? And I, that's why I always tell my customers, usually it's not no, it may be not now, but it's not no. Like I can pretty much fix anything as long as you're willing to put in the work, like the thing can be fixed. But to your point, like I was thinking about when you were talking about the mirror and the broken mirror. So I have a really good friend. Her name is McCall Jones. She's amazing video person. Before, like, I was literally terrified to be on videos. If any of you go and watch like my super early videos, you're going to see like, as opposed to like this loud, you know, kind of outgoing personality who uses her hands and all the things or whatever, literally because of shame, I would be like, hi, my name is Jacqueline Kreider. I'm with PJ Mortgage. Like I would like level myself out. I would like my whole body language would change. And she talks about something called white flamingos. She says, if you only ever got told that there was white flamingos in your world and you ever only saw white flamingos, and then all of a sudden you saw pink flamingos, you would think that the pink flamingos are the anomaly because all you ever saw was white flamingos. So you thought that that was what was normal, right? I mean, it's the same thing surrounding doing video with money, like all of these things, right? They're all interlinked. And this is why when I talk about financial stuff, I don't just break down, oh, here's what a 401k is. Oh, here's what a mortgage is or whatever, right? Because I could be doing that on the podcast. I could just simply be going into the money itself. But what people don't realize is it's so much more than that. It is literally very holistic. It's so integral. Like you said, I mean, there isn't just one thing, you know? And I think a lot of times, like this term kind of has bubbled up in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, gaslighting, right? And I didn't really understand what that was. And I was in a relationship when I was very young, where I was being gaslit constantly, but I didn't know what that looked like because what was happening was I truly firmly believe he didn't do it on purpose. It wasn't like he was intentionally trying to control me or like make me feel bad or whatever. I think it was coming out of his own like mental health space, out of his own childhood trauma, right? Of how he had to be perfect and he needed to be a certain way or whatever. And so I think sometimes what people have a hard time is it's easier to take it on ourselves and to pull it inwards and say, well, this is my fault, than looking and saying, no, you know what? My parents may have caused me to create shame-based thinking, create some negative involvement around money, whatever it is, but they may not have done it on purpose. They may not have been intentionally trying to be abusive to you. It's not like they were like, you know what I want to do today? I really like to screw up my kid. That sounds like a great plan.
Right.
Most parents, that's now it's happening.
Right.
Like it would be easier, honestly, truthfully, if that was what it was, right? Like if it was like true abuse, like it would be easier to like place that and be like, yeah, man, they really jacked up here, but that's just not the case. And so I think a lot of times, perspective wise, like you have to step back and look at the full picture. Because my brother and I have conversations about all the time about my parents. He sometimes will get very frustrated and upset at how we were raised and the fact that like we were raised in a household that really we needed to perform and we needed to almost be perfect. My mother will tell you that that's not the way that it was. I firmly believe that that came a lot out of her upbringing. She had to be perfect. And so she was one step better. She didn't expect exactly the level of perfection that they expected, but it was still pretty high. And so it created a lot of like shame within me and my brother. I have the perspective to step back and say, I don't think mom did that on purpose. Like, I don't think that like that was her intention, was like, you know what I want to do? Like, I want to make them feel bad, or I want to make them feel, you know, guilty and shameful about like who they are as people. So sometimes it's just stepping back and realizing like when you acknowledge your shame, right? When you start taking those steps, like it's okay to acknowledge that somebody did something to you that created it, even if it wasn't their intention.
Right.
Because a lot of times it isn't their intention. I think you would probably agree, like your parents were creating that, but it's not like they did it on purpose. It's not like your parents' intention was to be like, oh, well, hey, You know, I want Janelle to feel shame every day of her life.
Yeah, that's why I say it's an interpretation, right? So something is said, and then how the child may interpret it is XYZ. Because also, I love that you bring up the fact that you had a brother, right? And that you guys have been thinking about, like, what you remember from when you were little, and then how each of you interpreted that. I have there's a mentor of mine from a couple years back. He was giving a speech, and he was talking about how he grew up in Detroit, in some of like the worst areas of Detroit. So there was definitely some violence, some gun violence and things like that. And his father came home, pulled out a gun on him and his brother, and said, "I love you, but I will kill you."
Well, okay.
That's all that was said, right? So I just want to make it very clear. This is the fact. The fact is the father pulled out a gun. That's what he said. Sure. But how the brothers interpreted it is what changed both of their lives. So one of them heard it like, one of them heard, "I will kill you," and then ended up in gangs and drugs, and is, as far as I know, currently in prison right now because of all of that behavior. What my mentor who was giving the speech heard, he said, "What I heard and what I interpreted is, I love you." And that like completely changed the whole trajectory of his own life, right? And so I love that you and your brother are taking this moment to think about that, because you're correct. There's the fact of what was said, and certainly wasn't intentional to hurt, right? Most, I mean, I just gave like an extreme example, so so the intention isn't usually that, to like mess the child up. It's how one interprets it as a child, and we don't know, like, right? You don't know how a child is going to interpret these things, and so that's why I love that you guys are going back and thinking about it, because that reflection is huge. That's the A for the awareness part of a life.
People just don't think it all the way through. So my brother and I were having a conversation several years back, and my brother said, "Well, you know, mom and papa didn't really let us have much fun growing up." And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" And he's like, "Well, we always had to." And I was like, "Richard, we went to like every theme park in America. Like, what do you mean that mom and papa didn't allow us to have fun? Like, that's literally the opposite of mom and papa letting us have fun, right? But what he was talking about is, I think on the day-to-day, like, we had certain, like, level of expectations of things we were supposed to, like, meet and hit and whatever. And from my mother's perspective, you know, you needed this, like, structure of, like, rudimentary, like, what it needs to look like every day. And then, like, that whole work hard, play hard kind of thought process. But my brother interpreted it as, is like, these were the expectations and you're never allowed to have fun. And because he blocked out a lot of those super fun things, like really extreme type fun, he like could not correlate that together. And I thought that was super interesting. And I knew in a lot of ways why my family acted like that. And I highly encourage you, for those of you who are listening, if you have family that are willing to talk to you about stuff, ask questions, find out stories, because what you're gonna find is there's a lot of reason behind why people are acting and doing things the way that they're doing them. Like, my oma was super hard on my mother, super hard. And she and I were so close, and she was not hard on me like that, okay, at all. But what I learned is like, my oma grew up during the Great Depression in Germany at the age of like 13. She had to keep a knife in her boot, because when there would be like bombings and things like that during World War II, she had to go and possibly like run into a random like space where there may be some like shady characters. And she wasn't exactly a very big person. Like, when she passed, she was like 4'11" maybe. So she's really not a big person. And so like, imagine like going into a dark, crowded space where there might be like random strangers that you don't know what they're like. You know what I mean? Like, this is kind of like what some of her reality is. And so in her mind, she was helping my mother prepare for the real world. Like, what could happen? What could, you know, come from it or whatever? Again, was she trying to like damage my mother? No. And even to her later years, like, I would have to remind her that what we say can hurt, right? Like, I actually hate that expression, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." Like, that is the most BS expression if I've ever freaking heard it, because that is not true at all. Words can hurt. In fact, being that I have myself personally been into an abusive relationship where an ex picked me up and threw me across a room, I will tell you, bruises and things like that heal. The words that are said to you don't ever go away. They just echo in your brain forever. Right. And so people just don't think that all the way through. And I think when it comes to money, it's the same. Whatever you were taught, if you were taught that money was the devil, then for you, it will become the devil. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that's how you were brought up. And maybe, or maybe you go to the other extreme. You're like, no, I don't believe the money. You know what I mean? Like, and so you're going to have some of these thought processes, but as adults, it is, you have to like take your blinders off and make yourself aware. Like your thoughts are not bad. So don't have shame around like what you're thinking. Yeah, but you have to understand why you're thinking that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that's the hard work.
Yeah, it is.
The hard work or the heart work, as I have a friend who says it that way. Getting to the heart of the matter, because to your point, if you learn the steps and you learn the strategies, but if you're constantly thinking money is the devil or money is the root of all evil, right? And just really quickly, I just wanted to be clear. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say that money is. And so, but if that's what you end up believing, right? And that then anytime you're faced with a scenario where money is involved, again, you'll self-sabotage or you'll try to like figure out ways to like, not even if it's not consciously, like it can be very subconscious, but if you don't even recognize that you have that thought, and then you're told the tips, you're told the strategies, and yet there's something that you won't really follow through with because you really in your heart believe that like money is the root of all evil and you don't want to be evil. So why would you want to like have a lot of money? Because you don't want to be evil. So you like try to get rid of it, right? Like it's fascinating what we do.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience, whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge. Join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. Financial Mastery Simplified equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future, your life, your terms. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at Financial Mastery Simplified. Start your path to financial independence now. Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your home ownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
Oh, I'm such a nerd. I love to understand like people and their motivations, and I'm always asking questions. And book two is literally going to be called Ask the Question, because I swear it's all I ever do is I'm like, how does that work? And what does that look like? And whatever. And understand, for those of you who are thinking to yourself, well, I don't have any of those problems. I'm really good with money and yada, yada, whatever. I promise you, there are some stuff that you haven't unpacked and you haven't uncovered, and you could even deepen more and be more if you are asking those questions and thinking a lot of those things through, right? Because, I mean, I was blessed with the fact that I did have a lot of really good self-consciousness around money, because my mother grew up really poor and she never wanted to be that way again. And so she made sure that my brother and I got financial education that a lot of people didn't get. I had to read Sound Mind Investing. I tell that story all the time in seventh grade. It was not a choice. Like, congratulations, you get to read this book and you're going to learn about money and welcome, right? Which a lot of people are like, man, that was so great that your parents had those conversations. But then it also put like a lot of pressure on it. And so then into adulthood, there's a lot of times where I wasn't good with money because I was like, I don't want to do what they said. Like, I don't want to be perfect with money. I want to be able to spend it how I want to spend it and do what I want to do and yada, yada, whatever. Right. And so that's another thing too, is like, I don't care who you are and what stage of your process you are listening to this conversation. Some of this exists. Mm-hmm. And self-awareness is huge and it's key. And again, I say all the time, like, me too. Like, I too am still learning and asking myself questions and trying to discover my motivations for things and how I am shaping things and how I want to make impact in the world and all of those things, right? Mm-hmm. So like each and every one of us, but it is, awareness is like the big overarching factor. And it's why I had a conversation with you and I was like, oh my gosh, we have to have this conversation surrounding money, because so many people are like, shame doesn't have anything to do with that. And I'm like, that is such BS. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You know, you just might be like burying some of it or not having some of that thought process. And I actually would bet money that almost every single person has some relationship with shame at some point. Maybe not over all the things, right? Like, maybe there's only limited to like one specific topic, but I'd almost bet money on it.
I've had people say that, like, oh, I've never had shame. And I was like, what you probably have, because shame is a human emotion and experience. So like, I don't think it doesn't make you a bad person for having shame. Like, it is literally one of the things that we will just all go through at one point in time. But I just think some people just have major resilience, right? Like, they feel it, but then they have certain things in place that they just bounce back up from it. That's why I love using the resilience. It's not like a healing, like all of a sudden you get healed. It's not that. It's creating resilience around it. You just have this ability to bounce back. I think that framework of looking at it, and people are like, oh, I've never had it. And I'm like, nah, you probably just have like a really high resilience around that area.
Right.
That may not be the thing for you. Maybe it's a different thing for you where your resilience maybe isn't as strong.
Agreed. Well, I just, like I said, I mean, in general, like when it comes to anything, and I guess it's super funny. I went to this conference not too terribly long ago and we were having conversations about mortgage and messaging and, you know, my ideal client and all these different things. And when we had some of these conversations, one of the things I really realized is that I guess I am really different in this space because I really care holistically about the person. For me, it's really not about the mortgage. Like, yeah, of course, like I want to help you with this big transaction because it's really going to be like this integral goal piece to like your overall goals and like life structure. But like the truth is like I really want you to get to where you want in life. And truthfully, if that means like living in a van and like traveling around the country, like if that's what your end goal looks like, then great. Like even if I financially cannot be a part of that process for you, like that's okay with me, because I just really want people to have the self-awareness of like coming up with that. And I actually think some of the younger generations are doing a better job of this than some of the older generations, because a lot of times we just got taught like, no, we're not talking about that. That's not appropriate, right? Mm-hmm. And like to the conversation about social media, like you were saying, oh, you know, fine, you know, one or two people, maybe a small group to have these conversations with. I actually love that in some of these like mom groups I'm a part of and whatever, it's women helping women, like having some of these conversations where they're saying, man, like I feel like I majorly screwed up here and I did this, that, and whatever. I'm just feeling bad about myself. And here come in all these women like saying, no, man, me too. Like I did the same thing. You're not, it's not just you. And in a weird way, like hearing these stories from random strangers that you don't really know, right? But knowing like they're going through the same thing, like what a beautiful period of life that we're living in.
That's empathy. What? You hit on it. This group is just creating empathy for each other in a beautiful, magical, virtual way.
Exactly. Right. And I mean, and what a cool, like a lot of people think that the internet and all these, the AI and all these things are just like, so the devil, but like, think about it, right? Like 20 years ago, we couldn't even have been having this conversation this way. Mm-hmm. We couldn't have even been sharing our expertise in a way that was collaborative, that was intended to help other people or whatever. Right. We would have had to try to travel to a one specific space, have met and then figured out how to collaborate and like adjusted, like, I don't know, figured out how all that would look.
And those that don't know, I'm in New York right now.
Yeah. And Janelle and I would never have met if we hadn't like been a part of different groups and organizations, like where we're on like the same, you know, kind of, again, if you ever watch any of my Facebook posts, I'm always like, get in rooms that, you know, where the thinking outthinks you, like if you're not constantly like doing those things. Right. And so that's seriously like what a lot of this is all about. And so again, I can't stress enough that, you know, take these experiences, right? Read things like Janelle's book, you know, go and whatever. And I tell you truthfully, trust yourself. What is resonating with you, right? Mm-hmm. What is it that is resonating with you? Like I say all the time, I'm not everyone's cup of tea. That's okay. And if I'm not your cup of tea, that's okay. Like, you know, find your person that is going to resonate with you. Cause I promise you, the way that I handle things and deal with things is not the way my husband does. Like we have to listen to totally different people. Because for me, like, I need to hear all of the fleshed out, all the details. I need to know all the things. He's like, just get to the point. He tells me all the time, Jacqueline, stop building the clock. I can't handle that. Just tell me what's the point of the thing, right? And that's just not me. So know yourself to know, like, how you do get that awareness, right? Like, what is going to speak to you, if you will.
100%. I agree.
I was gonna say, I looked at you and I thought you were gonna say something, which you're more than welcome to. Oh. I mean, we're probably gonna wrap up here in a few minutes anyway, so I'm gonna let you kind of wrap up anything else you would like to say. And also, I mean, Janelle has mentioned before, but she does have an amazing book, and she is also helping other authors on their journey. So if you feel like you have a book within you, Janelle is probably your person to help you get it out. Because I will tell you, even as an English creative writing major, so I was literally like, pretty much educated to be able to write the book myself if I really needed to. It is hard. It is a very daunting experience to kind of do on your own. And let's be real, we all need a little accountability in our lives. And so I like to call it the book writing club. That's what I like to call it. It wasn't exactly that, but kind of, you know, just helped me sort of stay on task and ensure that she every week was like, are you writing? Have you written any more of the book? Have you done any more of the thing? And so, yeah, if you haven't written a book and you want to, she's a good person to connect to. Or if you want to experience and understand shame more and know more like how to rid yourself of it or how to start coming out of it, right? So you can be the best version of yourself. She's a good person for that too. So I'll let her speak to that.
Thank you, Jax. Number one, I'm going to put that like quiz, I call it a quiz, but that I'll put that, I'll make sure that you guys have access to that in the notes. So that way you can see what kind of messages you may have received when you were younger, which should be helpful in your awareness journey. And also for all of your listeners, I will put the first four chapters actually of my book. I'll make that available to all of you guys, so you guys have access to that. And then of course, if you want to keep reading, you can read, you can go purchase it to read the rest. And I really have found it to be quite miraculous that after all of the interviews regarding shame-based thinking, what's been really interesting is the number of people have pulled me aside to ask me, like, well, how did you write the book? And like, how does that work, the self-publishing process? And my background is in adult education. So what took me 2 years to learn, I can literally cut that time frame for you. And it has been so fulfilling to be able to help you, Jax, with that process. Yeah, and I regularly have master classes to help people with one particular area. And then we can work together to create a more unique plan for you. I would love to be able to do that for everyone. So I'll make sure that you can reach out to me on social media and you can get into my calendar link and all that other stuff so we can stay connected.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I will tell you guys, like, on both fronts, both the reading her book as well as, you know, doing the actual like class and hard work and whatever. Yes, anybody can write a book and you can absolutely do it yourself. And we live in an amazing day and age where you can self-publish and you can 100% do it on your own. But then you have to ask yourself, is it really worth the time and the energy to, you know, try to figure it out all your own when you can kind of condense time? Because for me right now, time is a huge factor. And so yes, I am smart enough and capable enough to do it on my own, but why in the world would I not use the expert? So that is absolutely why I chose to go down that path. But I highly encourage you for whatever resonated with you, whether it was the whole book writing journey, understanding more about shame-based thinking, a little bit of both, to kind of explore that further with Janelle. And hopefully this episode has been helpful for you. I feel very passionately about, you know, just being holistic in your financial journey and understanding exactly where you stand, because it's really going to be the only way you're going to expand out and get exactly where you want to be and need to be in life. And I firmly believe that you can accomplish and achieve anything you really want. Like, I really truly do believe that. I know a lot of people will maybe have told you in your life that's not the case. Again, that's BS. I'm just going to speak to that. I don't know who they were or what they said to you, but it's just not true. You are powerful beyond measure. And I made a post on social media this week about doing hard things, and it's totally, totally possible. So thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you again on soon, Janelle. And I hope this episode has been great. You guys, see you later.